And do you know how many people would probably, like, run away at the sight of dismembered legs?
Yeah. Dude, there's a 4-foot bong and a bag of wheat by your bed.
Tiddlywinks, the parlor game for nerds, is nearing extinction.
It's in my pod! It's in my pod!
I will find proof.
I'm very easily startled, Mr. Fingerman. I don't know which regulation body would regulate the penis ring that you were talking about earlier.
I'm ready to remain conscious as we record this show.
Hey, welcome to Medical Stuff. My name is Mark. No, I'm a pain in the head, Frankum. And that is Chris. No, you're a pain in both places, Fingston over there. How you doing, man?
No. You are a pain in the ass. I did not.
Well, I'm going for both.
Yeah, see? That's true.
I own both of them. You know, I can give you a headache. I can also be a pain in the ass.
That's true. You can. Basically, if there's an orifice, Mark can make it hurt.
Okay, what? That's a bit of a jump from the original statement. Because I don't think of the head as an orifice.
It has orifices.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I think that has a connotation that is a little bit off. A little bit.
What do you mean?
Well, I can't really argue it without getting into it.
If you get into it,
check
the
explicit content button on the episodes.
Which I've noticed, like, as the show goes on, we tend to, like, cross lines more and more. Like, it's just, like, it used to be like our, we need to have another guest on the show, by the way.
Yeah, we do.
I love having guests. It's a lot of fun. But,
maybe because it's less of me then.
Yeah. No, that's it. I like having guests on the show. And we'd always kind of brief them a little bit, like, hey, like, you know, like, say what's on your mind, but don't get too, like, and I remember one time saying, like, don't, like, drop an F-bomb. And now, like, there's at least one or two an episode, if not more. Like, right. It's.
But they're well-placed and they're used properly. That's the important part there.
Basically, what it comes down to is that as the quality of the content goes down, the humor has to come up because we got to balance it somewhere. We got to have a selling point somewhere. We used to have great, you know, topics. Now that's dying. So now we're just funny. No, I'm joking. But today's topic is headaches.
Yes. So, not, do you have a headache yet?
Not butt aches.
No, that's a different orifice.
It is. Now, you know, actually, today's episode is about orifices. Right. And what can go in them?
Well, I will tell you that this is a listener suggested. Migraines were a listener suggested subject. And I, for the life of me, cannot find the person who suggested it to thank them. So I'm going to send out a thank you to you know who you are.
We hope so anyway.
Right. We apologize for not remembering your name. I've gone through like everything I can find to find that one email, but I just can't find it. Or I've gone through Twitter. I've gone through Instagram messages. I've gone through Facebook messages. So thank you very much. We do appreciate it. And I apologize for not putting that down when I put the idea in the list of ideas. So, yeah, headaches. What do you know about headaches, Chris?
That I have one.
So, headaches are one of the most common medical complaints. Most people experience them at some point in life. I would upgrade that to all people will experience them at some point in their life.
And if you don't, like what are you doing? Like, let us know. Right. Like if you've never had a headache, can you write down like whatever it is you're having for breakfast?
Right. Exactly. They affect everybody. They are completely colorblind, racial blind, sex blind. You know, if you have a head, basically, you can have a headache. The World Health Organization.
Who are you?
No, that's the who. That's completely different. Not to be confused with the guess who.
What? Is this an old person joke? Like if I was 50 years older, would I get it?
Good Lord, you're not that much younger than me. You know that, right? What year were you born?
1984.
Really?
Yes.
You're lying.
I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, I'm 34.
Okay. I guess you are that much older than me then. Okay, well, the World Health Organization.
Did that hurt, Mark? What's
that? I don't know. I didn't think 34. I guess that's right. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I thought you were maybe a little bit later in your 30s.
I've got a friend that's they're 8 years younger than me, but at certain parts of the year they're 9 years younger than me, and they love to point out that they're an entire decade younger than me. And I like to point out that 9 years is not a fucking decade.
My last girlfriend, she was 3 years older than me most of the time, except for a short time in the year where she was only 2 years older than me.
Yeah. Oh, well, my wife is 6 days younger than me.
Oh, wow.
And every year, I'm on the 19th, she's on the 25th, and every year, the moment I turn 1 year older than her, this same joke comes up. And the joke is, well, I remember when I was your age. Every year.
Back when I was your age. Yeah.
She doesn't laugh, but that does not stop me from saying
no,
it.
No, not at all. It doesn't change the humor of the situation. It just is, shows she doesn't appreciate the humor that you're giving.
Yeah.
So.
No, she does not.
So the World Health Organization reports that almost half of adults worldwide will experience a headache in any given year. I still say that's a low kind of concept. Half.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, headache can be a sign of stress or emotional distress. It can result from medical disorders such as a migraine or high blood pressure, anxiety, or depression. It can lead to other problems. People with chronic migraines, for example, may find it hard to attend work or school regularly. Now, a headache from high blood pressure, that's muy bad.
Muy bad?
Muy bad.
Is it muy or moyo?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Dos cervezas, that's the extent of my Spanish, really. I can really only communicate with Spanish-speaking people at work if I use Google Translate.
Which actually we had I won't derail this in too much, but we did a Code 99 recently for those uninitiated there. Code 99 is no breathing and no pulse. That's CPR in progress there. Whole household, Chinese speaking only, Mandarin Chinese. So, and the cops actually busted out Google Translate, and we got a little bit of medical history that way.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
I use it quite a bit. The trick of using Google Translate is A, type properly, so you're not typing in nonsensical words and Google Translate's trying to translate.
Yeah.
And just as important, but only ask yes or no questions.
Right.
Because it does not help if you ask a question and they tell you in their native language the answer of which you don't speak.
Some new feature in Google Translate, though, is conversation mode. You speak English, it will then transport to Chinese, and then it will listen for Chinese and then translate back to English.
Have you used it?
I have not.
It's not bad. It's best if you're in a quiet place. If there's any sort of background noise, it really gets funky at that point.
Yeah, there's a lot of tears and screaming. We have to tell people to shut up. That would not be appropriate on that call.
I was thinking more on a roadside or a car accident. But
yeah, what you said.
We run into many situations. So,
boy, I will tell you. We'll tell you this: it is awkward when you have to use Google Translate to ask the family if they know CPR because you forgot. Like, that's a weird moment.
You know, or show them a cardiac strip and tell them, you know, does this look good to you?
Right. Do you know anything? Are any of you doctors? No? Crap.
No.
Someone should call 911.
This is going to go poorly then. So, had a lady whose high blood pressure was causing her headache. We get to the house. We are mere blocks from the hospital. And she's got her hands clasped behind her head at the base of her neck, and she has got her arms, like her elbows, wrapped around by her ears. We got her arm off her head long enough to get a blood pressure, and it was 260 over 136. And we're like, okay, we're going to go now. We're three blocks from the hospital. We're not going to sit here and do anything about this. We're just going to get in the truck and go as fast as we can to the hospital because they're going to be able to fix this, you know, we really don't. As we rolled into the room, they put us into a non-critical room, which critical rooms are basically larger so you can fit more people in there and get more people around the bed. Mm-hmm. She, as we turn to back into the room, she said she's going to be sick. She vomited, seized, and stroked out right there.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a huge problem. She popped the... I mean, I believe, if I remember correctly, because it was many years ago, she actually had a fairly decent outcome because it happened right there in the ER. So they were able to, you know, get in, get care of me, as opposed to happening at home and somebody finding you, you know, 20 minutes later, an hour later, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, of all the places for it to happen, that's yeah. where that needs to happen.
Yeah. I mean, so causes for headaches. Me would be one.
Right. Maybe I should speak to this. so some causes, like your headache symptoms or anyone's headache symptoms, can help your doctor determine its cause and the appropriate treatment. Because not all headaches are the same. Most headaches aren't the result of a serious illness, but some of them may result from a life-threatening condition requiring emergency care, like Mark's patient that he just talked about. Mm-hmm. Headaches are generally classified by their cause. So, primary headache. A primary headache is caused by overactivity of or problems with pain-sensitive structures in your head, or noggin, as we call it in the medical world.
Mm-hmm. And I'll give you that one in Spanish, el noggin.
I thought it was el noggeno. Or am I doing the female version of it?
That's the female, yeah. Gotcha. I was doing more of a masculine.
Okay, gotcha. All right, perfect.
To be used in a sentence, el hurto el noggin? I'd like to profusely apologize to any of our Spanish-speaking listeners.
And this is why...
Yes, I know that that is not right.
And this is why Mark has to use Google Translate. I say that as if I speak Spanish. I don't. So basically, a primary headache isn't a symptom of an underlying disease. Okay. All right, quick digression. Spencer and I went to a bar yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And just to grab some drinks on his way home there. And he, actually, this wasn't yesterday. I don't remember when this was. This is a long time ago.
Okay. How do you go from yesterday to it was a long time ago?
Because I'm an idiot. That's why. I was just going to say yesterday.
That seems like a very problem. Well, that seems like a severe problem with your time relationship.
Well, what was it? I just said, you know how sometimes you say that stories are in Oklahoma? But they're not, but you say that just so people won't ask who was on scene. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just make up dates just to make the story simpler. And then today, I'm dumb enough that I forgot that I'm like, that wasn't yesterday. I'm like, yeah, but you said it to make it easy and no one cares what it is because it's not important to the story. But remember around the time, so at one point, Mark and Spencer theorized that I was going to become so much of an egomaniac that I was going to start referring to myself as Cristoban.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so we went into a bar and it's actually a restaurant, but it has a bar section. They're like, hey, how long is the wait? And they're like, oh, it's only about 10 minutes. We're like, all right, cool. Yeah, let's go ahead and put down a name. And they're like, all right, what's the name? And then Spencer goes, that'd be Cristoban. And here's the best part about it. She nailed the spelling. Didn't even ask. She's like, got it.
Oh, nice.
She's like, Cristoban. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
So,
can we tip the hostess? Because I think you just earned it.
Right. Yeah. And then she was like, what's Cristobal's phone number? And I'm like, 503. I gave my phone number out. And I was impressed. Mm-hmm. And then we went and found a seat at the bar and they never called our names, which was fine because they just started giving us alcohol, which is what we went there for. So, So primary headache. That's caused by an overactivity, of or problems with pains and structures in your head. There's no underlying disease causing it. So chemical activity in your brain, the nerves or blood vessels surrounding your skull, or the muscles of your head and neck, or some combination of these factors, can play a role in primary headaches. Some people also carry genes that make them more likely to develop such headaches, such as Levi's that are too tight, or...
a bandana that's tied down.
Right, exactly. But no, obviously we mean like, genes, not genes. That cleared that up. All right. So the most common primary headaches are, you got the cluster headache, the migraine.
Not to be confused with a clusterfuck.
Right, exactly. A clusterfuck is what you're listening to. Exactly. A cluster headache may result from... But anyway, a cluster headache, a migraine with aura, a tension headache, and of course, the one that just rolls right off the tongue, that'd be the trigeminal autonomic cephalgia. Cephalgia?
Tack.
Tack. Yeah, the TAC. Yeah. Cephalgia. I don't feel like that word should be that hard to pronounce, but it is. Cephalalgia. All right. The TAC.
Again, back to clusterfuck is what you're listening to. Right.
Such as a cluster headache and a paroxysmal hemicrania. As if that clears that up. Right. A few headache patterns also generally considered to be types of primary headaches, but are less common. These headaches have distinct features. They'll have like an unusual duration or like a pain associated with a certain activity. Although these are generally considered primary headaches, the ones I'm about to list here, each could be a symptom of an underlying disease as well. So be careful with these. Chronic daily headaches, for example, chronic migraines, chronic tension-type headache, or hemicranias continua.
I've seen that so many times in the field.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I actually walked in the other day. I'm like, not another hemicranias continua.
I know. I just get tired of them.
It's like that in UTIs. All right.
Urinary tract infections, for those of us who don't know what UTI is.
Yeah, urinary tract infections happen all the time. It's one of those things. I remember my dad early on in my paramedic career, and he's like, hey, look, here's the thing. If you've got an elderly person and they're altered and you can't find any other reason why,
just probably UTI. It's
probably UTI. And he's like, or if you walk in, you smell urine, it's probably UTI. Right. Anyway.
I had a lady who I myself and the physician at the ER initially would have laid money she was having a stroke. She had right-sided weakness. She had facial droop. Everything. Only thing they found was a UTI. They gave her some antibiotics. It all cleared up and they sent her home. Because we went back. He's like, it's a UTI. I'm like, what? He goes, I don't say that as a form of judgment because I was totally with you on the stroke thing. I gave her a full set. He goes, and I considered doing double checks on the CT scan, having a second one just to make sure. He goes, yeah, we gave her some antibiotics and like an hour later, everything cleared up and she was fine and couldn't find anything else. So we sent her home.
Damn.
Yeah. So, hemicranias continua. What are the other types?
All right, so you got cough headaches, exercise headaches, and sex headaches.
Which we're going to have a little bit of a digression here because I felt that needed some investigation.
Yeah, no, totally did. And I noticed that you guys...
Now, this is not the headache that your wife or girlfriend tells you they have to get out of sex.
Oh, damn it. I thought we were going to... Oh, well.
Right.
Okay.
That would have been an easy right.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been... So, sex headaches are brought on by sexual activity, especially an orgasm. So, ladies... You have no fear of this happening with me. Just so I'm there to protect you from sex headaches by providing a distinct lack of orgasm. So if that's something that you seek, then
God. So every now and then I've made fun of Mark in the past for God, what episode was it? Was it erectile dysfunction? It was something like
that. I don't know.
You'd made some sort of comment that was, it was normal. I was just being a dick. And you'd made some sort of comment about something about like how you are in the bedroom. And I was like, is this your damn Tinder profile? Like, are you putting a Tinder ad? This is Mark pulled a 180 today. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yes, if you suffer from sex headaches, I'm your man.
So, I'm not even sure where the vagina is. It's located on the left hip, I think. It's
you may notice a dull headache, a dull ache in your head. I almost said dull headache in your head, which
as opposed to the dull headaches in your right foot.
Exactly. dull headache in your dull, Jesus H. A dull ache in your head or neck that builds up as sexual excitement increases. Or more commonly, you may experience a sudden severe headache just before or during orgasm.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah. That kind of. Most sex headaches are nothing to worry about other than the obvious.
Yeah.
But some can be a sign of something more serious, such as a problem with blood vessels that feed your brain.
Those aren't important.
Nah, meh.
Oh, boy, wait. The next page is also more about sex headaches.
What?
So the next page is also more about sex headaches.
Oh, yeah. I kind of took a deep dive on this.
This one, is the stuff that sells, though. Play it up, baby. Let's do this. Yeah.
So the symptoms are two types of sex headaches, a dull ache in the head or the neck, and then the sudden severe throbbing. And some people, they have both types.
Oh, which, good.
Yeah. Most sex headaches are last for at least several minutes or may linger for hours or even 2 or 3 days. Many people who have sex headaches will experience them in clusters over a few months, and then they may go for a year or more without having any sex headaches, which is kind of like a game of Russian roulette in my mind.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yes, I want to have sex, but is this the time I'm going to have the sex headache?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So is it, you know.
Well, ladies, sex with me, it's always worth the risk. Sorry, I had to cheese this up. And when I say that, I want you...
Use Tinder profile.
Right, exactly. And when I say that, I want you to imagine me in like a pose on a couch in a leopard print robe.
Right.
Like that's...
Well, not a couch, a divan with like the one arm in the back.
Yeah. You know, there you go. Yeah. Oh, Mark.
Yeah.
A divan.
Look, keep this up. I'm going to give myself a sex headache. Up to all half of the people with sex headaches experience them over the course of about 6 months. Some people may only have one attack during their lives, but really at that point, I would wonder if one is enough. Right. So, causes of sex headaches.
Sex.
Sexual activity.
Nailed it.
Wait. No, wait. Sorry. Sexual activity that leads to orgasms.
Oh, God. There you go. Yeah.
So, yes, you do need a specific subset of sexual activity there.
Just don't have an orgasm.
Right. Abrupt onset or slow to build sex headaches can be a primary headache disorder not associated with any other underlying condition. Sex headaches that come on suddenly are more likely to be associated with a widening or bubble in the wall of the artery inside your head or an intracranial, which is hugely different between an intracranial aneurysm. This would be an intracranial. Hmm. An intracranial aneurysm would be an aneurysm between two different brains.
Hey, you never know. And if you're having sex with someone and you accidentally bonk heads.
There you go.
Yeah.
An abnormal connection between the arteries and veins in the brain. Arteriovenous malformation that bleeds into the spinal fluid filled space and around the brain. So causing basically like a subarachnoid bleed, bleeding into the wall of an artery, leading to the brain, like some sort of dissection, stroke, coronary artery disease. Use of some medications such as birth control pills can cause this, and inflammation from certain infections. So, many, many years ago, ran a call in Oklahoma, and legitimately Oklahoma, not just, I don't want to tell where I was, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And this was for a cardiac arrest, and it was about 12:45, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, we get there, it's a 76-year-old man, and he's completely naked on the bedroom floor.
Yes.
With a towel, like a hand towel, and there was a washcloth across the groin. Right.
Okay.
So we get in there and we all kind of arrive at the same time. And of course, this is like up a flight of stairs to the front yard, up a flight of stairs to the front porch, up a flight of stairs to the top, you know, make a 180 all the way down the end of the hallway, make a right into the hallway, into the bedroom. It's like so legitimately the most difficult place in the house to get to. Fire's doing CPR. My partner's starting the call. I'm getting equipment for him. He's talking to the wife, you know, what happened on this? Well, he got up this morning and he went out and he ran some errands and, you know, he came home and we had some lunch. And just as he's getting ready to intubate, so he looks at her and he goes, well, what were you doing? What was he doing right before this happened? Now, you got to imagine this is cardiac arrests tend to be a little loud. Why? You have people counting their respirations. You have people talking back and forth in the background.
There's stuff going on.
There's stuff going on. Things are happening. So it's a bustle, you know. So she goes, we were having sex. Everybody in the room goes dead quiet and kind of stops what they're doing, except for the guy doing compression. So
thank it goes God. From this
kind of general hum down to 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Breathe. Oh, sorry. That's all you hear in the room.
Jesus.
So... And then we get to the hospital, and I'm talking to the doctor about it. And she looks at me. She goes, do you think he finished before he left? Because isn't that kind of a description of hell, spending eternity on the edge like that?
Yeah. But that is a gamble right there. Because, honestly, like, if you're going to die
mm-hmm.
and, like, and like you got to finish. That's not a bad way to go.
No.
That's not a bad way to go. But the gamble there is if you don't, then the rest of eternity on the edge, that is a gamble. It's either the best way to die or the worst way to die.
Exactly. That is probably on the ninth plane of hell to be there and not having finished, you know. So, sex headaches are associated with loss of vision, loss of consciousness, vomiting, stiff neck, and other neurologic symptoms, and severe pain lasting more than 24 hours are more than likely due to an underlying cause. So, if you're having these things, definitely go get checked out. Don't have sex until you're checked out. So, your risk factors. Sex headaches can be affected, can affect anyone, but primarily, males are more prone to having sex headaches.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, I know. And then also having a history of migraines makes you prone to increasing your risk of sex headaches. So, prevention.
This sucks.
So this is where my strong suit comes into things. Sometimes sex headaches can be prevented by stopping sexual activity before orgasm.
There's that. There you go.
Or taking a more passive role during sex. And that's all they got for you.
More passive role. Yeah, honey, you got to be on top. Doctor says so. You're right. Got a note from the doctor right here. Says I just have to kick back and let you do the work. Exactly.
And she's like, so what happened in the first 5 years of marriage that you did that made me do this?
Right. I don't know. But now the doctor approves.
So back to primary headaches.
Oh, yeah. So primary headaches can be triggered by lifestyle factors. This includes alcohol. I'm actually drinking right now, but I don't have a headache. Particularly red wine. Did not know that. Yeah. Certain foods, such as processed meats that contain nitrates, changes in sleep or lack of sleep, poor posture, skipped meals, and stress. I am doing literally all of these. every single thing on this list, I am doing. But I don't have a headache, thankfully, right now. So let's move on. Secondary headaches, though. So secondary headache is a symptom of a disease that can activate pain-sensitive nerves in the head. Any number of conditions, and this varies wildly in severity, may cause secondary headaches. So possible causes of secondary headaches include acute
Hey, real quick. Can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah.
Can I save you?
Sinusitis. There you go.
Nailed it. Research has found that food and drinks that have been aged, such as dry aged meats or red wines, can cause our body to release histamines and create these allergy type symptoms.
Oh.
So basically, it's a histamine headache.
Interesting. Okay.
So if you're going to drink, take Claritin.
So.
Literally says it on the page.
Wow.
Well, it says take a histamine blocker such as Claritin.
I'm just freaking immune. This is awesome. So going back to secondary headaches, and again, secondary headaches, the headache, there's something causing that. Are you building like a Lego castle around your microphone right now?
No.
Are you sure? Mark?
Yes.
Do you have Legos?
I do not.
We talked about Legos. Mark, put the Legos away. Anyway, so acute sinusitis. Sinusitis. That's an infection. It's a sinus infection. So when I first saw this, this is arterial tears, but my head goes, arterial tears? What are we talking about arterial tears for? That's weird. Anyway, arterial tears, carotid or vertebral dissection. So you have arteries. Everyone's familiar with the carotid artery. That's what causes the pulse in your neck. But you also have arteries that run up and down the vertebrae of your spine. So it'd be vertebral. And a dissection is basically these things ballooning out and then splitting and dissecting, getting essentially torn up. A blood clot, so venous thrombosis, that is that's a clot that's in your veins within the brain. So that's separate from a stroke. So brain aneurysm, this is a bulge in an artery that's in your brain. These can actually burst as well. A brain AVM, this is an arteriovenous malformation. It's an abnormal formation in the brain blood vessels. So I'm going to digress on AVMs just a little bit. AVMs are actually a little more common than some might think, and for the most part, they're fairly benign, but they can cause things such as frequent headaches and seizures. Basically, anytime you're going to mess with blood flow in the brain, you can cause seizures, death, stroke symptoms,
right,
all sorts of stuff. But anyway, I just had a couple patients recently with AVMs, and they had a range of different symptoms that may be caused by the AVM. And so it's interesting to see it there. Brain tumors. That can obviously cause a headache. I feel like that's kind of a duh as to why that might cause a headache.
Right.
Carbon monoxide poisoning. Actually, one of the, when we're looking at carbon monoxide poisoning, this is one of the symptoms that we look for is headaches. When you start looking at the list of symptoms alongside like a cherry red skin. Chiari malformation. It's a structural problem at the base of your skull. Concussions, dehydrations, dental problems. Ear infections, particularly in the middle ear. Encephalitis, this is inflammation of the brain. Giant cell arteritis, inflammation of the lining of the arteries. Glaucoma, acute angle closure glaucoma. This is actually a disease in the eye that actually causes, that can lead to blindness if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. Hangovers, hell yeah, that can cause them. does anyone... and by anyone, I mean the only other person here, Mark. should we talk about my bachelor party? Briefly?
It would have to be really briefly, because I don't know if you noticed that the amount of information we have on this, we've got quite a bit to go through still.
Motherfucker. All right. Yeah, we're going to go quickly. no, you know what? We're going to skip it. All right. High blood pressure, hypertension. And one of the reasons that's going to cause a headache is basically when it comes to high blood pressure, you're essentially, you're putting pressure on the vasculature in your brain. God, my voice has got a bubble in it. Anyway, you're putting pressure on the vasculature.
That's just good radio right there.
Yeah, that's why y'all tune in. It puts pressure on the vasculature in the brain, and that essentially puts pressure on the brain and by extension the nerves, and that causes pain. So, influenza. And other febrile illnesses that cause fever can cause headaches. Intracranial hematoma, that is, I'm just going to start reading these instead of explaining everyone. All right. Intracranial hematomas, medications to treat other disorders. Nitroglycerin, actually a common side effect of. Oh, whose phone was that?
Okay, that was not my phone. Just a second. That was not my phone ringing.
Oh, I don't care what it was.
That was my 10 o'clock. No, that was the 10, at 10 o'clock. It goes into night mode.
Okay. Hang on a second. Let me check my phone and let's see what it says. Oh, my phone says Mark's making a big fat excuse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your phone is angry, man.
Yeah, it's got issues. but anyway, so medications treat other disorders. We give nitroglycerin for chest pain, and a lot of patients just take it on their own. And one side effect of nitroglycerin is actually a headache. Right. Meningitis, that's inflammation of a lining around the brain.
The meninges.
Monosodium glutamate, MSG, has some studies that may indicate that it causes headaches. Overuse of pain medication, which is kind of funny. Panic attacks or panic disorder. Post-concussive syndrome, pressure from a tight headgear, such as like helmet or goggles. I can tell you, I volunteered with the fire department for a number of years, and that is very, very true. Because when you're doing the fire department stuff, you got a helmet on, and then you're doing drills and stuff where you're dragging people out of buildings and that kind of stuff, and your helmet gets knocked around. So the first thing you do is, well, I better batten this thing downhill for stouter, otherwise it's going to fall off, and that's embarrassing. And by the time you're done, you're like, I want a new head. This one hurts too much. Pseudotumor cerebri, stroke, toxoplasmosis, trigeminal neuralgia, or as well as other neuralgias, all involving irritation of certain nerves connecting the face and the brain. Your trigeminal nerve is one of your cranial nerves. It's kind of a big deal. Some types of secondary headaches also include external compression headaches. So tight helmets again.
Or like skiing goggles.
Yeah, that'd be another thing. Ice cream headaches. Right. Probably called brain freeze. We got to tell that story. That story is getting told. And the best part is, so I want the audience.
When Chris and I started working together.
Hang on, Mark. I just want the audience to know that all I had to say was, we got to tell that story. And Mark immediately knows where we're going.
When Chris and I were first working together, Chris has always been fairly enthusiastic about responding to challenges.
Peer pressure gets me every time.
Yeah. I have seen him do the, was it 10 cc's of bacon fat challenge?
Yeah.
I believe you did the teaspoon or tablespoon of cinnamon challenge.
I did, and rocked it.
I did convince him to climb into every outside compartment on the ambulance while on post and shut the door while he was in there.
And I did it.
And he did it. So we are, it's a warm day.
I feel like I shouldn't be summertime. Proud of this, though. Huh? I feel like I shouldn't be proud of these facts, though.
We stop at a Dairy Queen to get something to eat because it's a hot day outside and we've been working hard and we've earned it, damn it. So Chris gets an ice cream cone. Was it one of the chocolate dipped ones?
Probably was, because that is my favorite.
Yeah. So we almost immediately, I think I got like a blizzard. So it was in a cup. You know, I was driving. We almost immediately get a call. So I tell Chris that he does not have a hair on his ass if he doesn't finish that ice cream before we get to scene.
Because an ice cream cone is actually a stupid choice for a paramedic.
Right.
Because you can't just like put it in the cup holder and then go to your call, then come back to a melted but still delicious treat.
It's either down the gullet or out the window.
Yeah.
Well, Chris chose down the gullet. Now, if this were one of those runs where you had 8 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be that big of a deal. This was not that call.
No.
No, no. This was literally like a...
blocks away.
Yeah, exactly. Down around the corner. So Chris downs this entire like huge ice cream with chocolate.
I just murdered this. I take the cone too, by the way.
Oh, yes. Everything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely everything. And he is just dying as we're walking into the call.
Oh, it hurts so bad. I didn't get out at first. And like Mark goes around. I remember the call. It wasn't that like it was technically a lights and sirens call, but was not a lights and sirens call. Like we had to go lights and sirens because that's where we were dispatched. But
this is those kind of 911 calls that you go lights and sirens for to appease the lawyers,
right,
at the company,
pretty much. And so I just remember sitting there and like Mark got out and he's like, you know, just come in when you're ready. And so, like, I only sat there for, like, a minute, but then, like, yeah, Mark went into the seat first, and then I trotted behind him about a minute later.
Yeah.
I needed a second. I remember.
So, then you have sinus headaches caused by, you know, the congestion and the pressure of inflammation from the infection. Spinal headaches caused by low pressure or volume of cerebrospinal fluid, possibly the result of a spontaneous cerebrospinal fluid leak, a spinal tap, or spinal anesthesia. These can happen, I would say probably the most common that I hear about are post-delivery women.
Oh, yeah.
Who've had a spinal block.
Yep.
You know. And then thunderclap headaches, a group of disorders that involves sudden severe headaches with multiple causes. So nice catch-all name there, I guess.
Thunderclap sounds like a terrible STD.
It does.
You got the clap? No, man, I got the thunderclap. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to get IV antibiotics, man. I got the thunderclap.
That's where I piss fire. It's all that happens. Oh, boy.
So, cluster headaches.
And this is a type of primary headache.
Yes. Cluster headaches, which occur in cyclical patterns or clusters, are one of the most painful types of headaches. A cluster headache commonly wakens you in the middle of the night with an intense pain in or around the eye or on one side of your head. Bouts of frequent attacks, known as cluster periods, can last from weeks to months.
Oh.
This sounds horrific. Sounds absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
And is usually followed by a remission period when the headaches stop. During remission, no headaches can occur for months and sometimes even years. So just when you think you're clear of it, it sounds like this comes back and gets you again. Fortunately, cluster headaches are rare and not life-threatening. Treatment can make cluster headaches attack shorter and less severe. So common signs and symptoms, a cluster headache strikes quickly, usually without warning. And although you might first have migraine-like nausea or an aura, so an aura is described by people Because I hear people having auras with migraines, and I also hear people having an aura before they have a seizure.
Yeah.
And generally, from what I understand, it's more of a, like a color around objects or people. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, common signs and symptoms of during a headache include excruciating pain, generally situated in or around one eye, but may radiate to other areas of your face, head, neck, and shoulders. One-sided pain, restlessness. Okay, I'm going to say this is excessive tearing.
not excessive tearing.
Yeah. Redness in your eye on the affected side.
Yeah, Marge just woke up, just started tearing a bunch of pieces of paper apart, complaining about pain in her left eye. I mean,
it's okay if you do a little bit, but this was just excessive.
Right, absolutely. I think she has a cluster headache.
Right. This is one that's interesting. A stuffy or runny nose on the affected side. Huh. So one nostril. Yeah.
Huh.
Forehead or facial sweating. Pale skin or flushing on your face. So you can be pale or flush. Swelling around your eye on the affected side. And a drooping eyelid. People with cluster headaches, unlike those with a migraine, are likely to pace or sit or rock back and forth. Some migraine-like symptoms, including sensitivity to light and sound, can occur with a cluster headache, though it's usually only on one side, which that's really interesting also.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so talking to my good ear, you know? If you could talk to my left ear, I'd really appreciate it. So, characteristics. Cluster period generally lasts from 6 to 12 weeks. The start date and the duration of each cluster period may be consistent from period to period. For example, cluster periods can occur seasonally, such as every spring or every fall. Most people have episodic cluster headaches. In episodic cluster headaches, the headaches occur for 1 week to a year, followed by a pain-free remission period that can last as long as another year before another cluster headache develops.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So here's
chronic cluster.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Chronic cluster periods might continue for more than a year, or pain-free periods might be less than 1 month. Jesus. During a cluster period, headaches can usually occur every day, sometimes several times a day. A single attack can last from 15 minutes to 3 hours. The attacks often occur at the same time each day. Most attacks occur at night, usually 1 to 2 hours after you go to bed.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, right. The pain usually ends as suddenly as it begins, with rapidly decreasing intensity, and after the attacks, most people are pain-free but exhausted.
Jesus.
I can see that.
So one of the things I want to point out, though, is, and Mark has, we mentioned this a couple times, is that primary headaches, the headache is the headache, essentially. That's the problem. But secondary headaches can be something else. So seek emergency care if you have any of these signs and symptoms. So if you ever have an abrupt, severe headache, often like a thunderclap, which is just basically. A friend of mine's mom had an aneurysm. And the way she described, she's actually driving when she had it. She had a little bit of a headache for a few days, but didn't think much of it. And then all of a sudden she was driving along, and all of a sudden she said it felt like she took like a ball peen hammer to the base of her skull. Just like, bam, came on suddenly. Like something just blew up, which is exactly what happened. And that is that thunderclap. When we talk about a thunderclap, it's just like a sudden onset of an intense pain that just comes on. And she just said it just seems to dominate your senses. And so that is what they're talking about. So if you ever have an abrupt, severe headache like that, that is a time to seek emergency care. Call 911. A headache with a fever, nausea, vomiting, a stiff neck, mental confusion, seizures, numbness. I think seizures is pretty obvious. Speaking difficulties, which can indicate a number of problems. That's including a stroke, meningitis. So like the stiff neck is often a sign of meningitis, because meningitis is an inflammation of lining around the brain that actually extends down towards the spinal cord. And so if that gets inflamed, your neck will hurt. Encephalitis or a brain tumor. A headache after a head injury, even if it's a minor fall or a bump, especially if it worsens. And I'll also add, especially in elderly patients or anyone who's on blood thinners such as Coumadin. those are people you want to be very careful of if they get headaches after a fall. A sudden severe headache unlike anything you've ever had, so back to that thunderclap bit. A headache that worsens over days or changes in pattern. Those are all good times to seek emergency care, because what we're worried about is underlying causes that could be life-threatening. So, but back to cluster headaches. So the causes of a cluster headache is not exactly known. But cluster headache patterns suggest that abnormalities in the body's biological clock, such as that, which would be the hypothalamus, play a role. So unlike migraine and tension headaches, cluster headaches generally aren't associated with triggers like foods, hormonal changes, or stress. Once a cluster period begins, however, drinking alcohol may quickly trigger a splitting headache. So for this reason, many people with cluster headaches will avoid alcohol drinking during a cluster period. Other possible triggers include the use of medications such as nitroglycerin, which we talked about earlier, which is a drug that we use to treat chest pain.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why they do that?
Why it causes a headache?
Yeah.
Well, I believe it's because, so nitroglycerin causes vasodilation, and that's just basically where the blood vessels get bigger. And I believe it's due to a sudden increase of blood flow to the brain due to the vasodilation, but I'm not 100% on that.
Okay.
Oh, did you not know? And you're just asking?
I just thought it was for the primary reason was from the vasodilation.
Yeah.
Just say, not necessarily dropping blood pressure, but just the fact that all of your vasos have dilated.
I didn't say dropping blood pressure. I said an increase in and be a increase in blood flow to the brain due to the sudden vasodilation.
Oh, got it. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you.
Don't listen to me.
Sorry, what?
God damn it.
Well, because I know that's one of the reasons why, like in aspirins, you'll find caffeine. It's because it causes that vasoconstriction to get rid of your headache.
Okay.
So, okay. Moving on.
More power to you, Mark.
Risk factors, right?
Risk factors.
Risk factors are, sorry, I was busy looking for that person's name who suggested the episode. Feeling really bad about not remembering their name. So, risk factors for cluster headaches include being a dude. Men are more likely to have cluster headaches. Age, most people who develop cluster headaches are between 20 and 50. So you're right in the middle of it, and I'm almost out of the that range.
Yeah, almost out. Come on, Mark.
It's almost out.
Come on. Jackass. You crossed that finish line a while ago.
No, that's not true, Rick. How old do you think I am?
Old.
You're not invited to my birthday party.
Come on. You've had enough anyway.
Smoking. Many people who get cluster headaches are smokers.
Aren't you tired of birthday parties yet?
Alcohol use. I'm getting a cluster headache. I can tell you that much. And I know the external trigger.
Yeah.
Alcohol can trigger an attack if you're at risk of having a cluster headache. And then also a familial history.
Okay.
Yeah. Will increase your chance of getting cluster headaches. So, yeah, that's a cluster headache. And it sounds like a clusterfuck.
It does. So, let's talk migraines.
Let's talk about migraines, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the pain and throbbing that you will see.
Not
bad. Talk about migraines.
So migraine can cause, as you just heard in the song, severe throbbing pain or a pulsing sensation. Usually.
I scare me sometimes.
Usually on just, you scare a lot of people. Usually on just one side of the head. It's often accompanied by nausea, vomiting, and extreme sensitivity to light and sound. I could tell you a story about it. That's right.
Well, Chris is prepared to remain conscious during the recording of this episode.
This is actually an intern that Mark and I had. I think Mark will probably remember the story. Chief complaint, migraine. This person was not used to having migraines, but our intern, who was new by virtue of the fact that they're an intern, we took the patient in the back, and this intern, I'm like, so what can you do to make this patient's migraine better right now? And she's giving me a blank stare, and I'm like, turn off the lights. Because the problem is when you're in an ambulance, you face straight up. When you're in the stretcher and you're the patient, you face straight up. And above you, because we need these to work, is a series of very bright lights.
And just shining them directly in the patient's face is sometimes not the best if they have a migraine.
Right.
So, migraine attacks can cause significant pain for hours to days and can be so severe that the pain is disabling. Warning symptoms known as an aura may occur before or with the headache. That's what we talked about earlier, where it's like, well, basically, these can include flashes of light, blind spots even, or tingling on one side of the face or in your arm or leg. And here's the thing, though. If you ever have those specific symptoms, tingling on one side of your face, your arm or leg, and you've never had them before, you need to call 911. If you have a headache associated with those things, you should call 911. Now, it could be that you get to the ER, they say, hey, you're not having a stroke, which is what those would be signs and symptoms of. You're having migraines. And once you know your migraines, hey, different story. But if you've never had this before, these come on, do not assume it's just a migraine and will pass. But anyway, symptoms. Migraines often begin in childhood, adolescence, or early adult. Why wouldn't we just say, sorry, migraines begin in childhood, adolescence, or early adulthood. Migraines may progress through four stages. There's prodrome, aura, headache, and postdrome, though you may not experience all the stages. So, prodrome. So, 1 or 2 days before a migraine, patients may notice a subtle change.
Do you think there's like an amateur drone before they go pro?
Well, there has to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be weird like to have a prodrome.
College drome or something like that?
Yeah, or like Little League drome. Right. Yeah, well, that's for the patients that experience migraines in childhood. They start off with Little League. So, but yeah, so 1 or 2 days before a migraine, you might notice these subtle changes for an upcoming migraine. And that could include constipation, mood changes from depression to euphoria. Well, that would suck. Man, dude, things are awesome. Ah, fuck, I'm getting a migraine, aren't I? Anyway.
No, I think they're saying that it goes from depression to feeling euphoria by itself is not the issue. It's if you go from like depressed to euphoric back to depressed.
Right. Food cravings, neck stiffness, increased thirst and urination, or frequent yawning.
Because those are all very specific things that would make me go, migraine.
Frequent yawning is just Monday. Like that's
right.
Anyway.
Exactly.
God, brief tangent. And I think Mark's on the same page. This kind of reminds me because like, it kind of goes hand in hand with the saying, it's like, looks like someone's got a case of the Mondays, but anytime, here's what I'm tired of. And this isn't funny. Quit putting this shit on your car. Don't wear a t-shirt that says it. And sure as fuck, like don't put I already said shit on your car. Well, don't do it again. And that's all these coffee sayings where it's like,
so we have struck a black ice, definitive airway moment with Chris. Yes. Just for those of you who have long-term listeners, this is a black ice situation for Chris.
Yeah, I hate the term black ice. I hate the term definitive airway. There's plenty of episodes where we talk about why. The other thing I hate is these things where it's like, until I've had my coffee, I can't even. Or don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. Or excuse me. Or it's like just those dumb things where they act like, you know, like coffee is life and all this stuff. I'm like, you know what? I would believe you if you replaced the word coffee with cocaine. That would make more sense. Like if someone was like, dude, I can't even talk to people till I have my cocaine. I would believe you. There's chemical problems with you being a cocaine addict. And I'm sure on some level caffeine does the same thing. But for Christ's sakes, it's just not fucking funny. Stop it. Same with chocolate. Knock it off.
And that's Let's Get Real with Chris Finkston this week.
All right. Auras.
Auras may occur before or during migraines. Most people, although during a migraine just seems like a waste of a good aura.
Right.
Yeah. Most people experience migraines Ooh. Without auras. Yeah. Hey there, T-Bone. How you doing?
Not too bad, Slim.
Auras are symptoms of the nervous system. They're usually visual disturbances such as flashes of lights, wavy or zigzag vision.
What is zigzag vision?
I think it's where you see like little lines in your vision that are zigzag, I'm thinking. Or just like your vision, it's like looking through a broken bottle where you know, a certain section of it is offset from everything else.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. Sometimes auras can also be touching sensations, movement, or speech disturbances. Your muscles may get weak, or you may feel as though someone is touching you.
I've got a touching sensation for you.
Put your pants on, jackass.
Damn it.
Each of these symptoms usually begins gradually, builds up over several minutes, and lasts for 20 to 60 minutes. Examples of an aura could be a visual disturbance such as seeing various shapes, bright spots, or flashes of light, vision loss, pins and needles sensation. Did you go over this already?
Yeah, it's just in there twice. Oh, well, it looks like it's probably two different lists from two different sources because, you know, I think some of these are the same as what was in Cluster Headaches.
Yes, that's why it sounds familiar. Okay,
yeah.
So, hearing noises or music, that's a new one.
Okay, what if you're playing
uncontrollable music? Jerking.
Huh? What if you're playing music?
Damn it. I hear music. I have a migraine. I have an aura every time I go to work.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Flashing lights.
Difficulty speaking. An uncontrollable jerking or other movements. Sometimes a migraine with an aura may be associated with limb weakness like hemiplegic migraine. So... the attack. A migraine can usually last from 4 to 72 hours if untreated. Imagine 3 days of a migraine. Jesus. The frequency of which...
I feel like we both get religious suddenly when something's really bad.
Yeah. Jesus e Cristo. Again, I apologize to the Spanish-speaking members of the audience.
I feel like we apologize a lot.
Well, I think we have a lot of reason to apologize
for. Yeah, no, fair.
The frequency of which headaches occur vary from person to person. Migraines can be very rare or strike several times a month. During a migraine, you may experience pain on one or both sides of your head, pain that feels throbbing or pulsing, sensitivity to light and sound, and smells and touch, nausea and vomiting, blurred vision, lightheadedness, and sometimes followed by fainting. So these are all your prodrome situations.
Now on to amateurdrome.
Right. So I knew a guy, he had migraines, and he had gone home from for lunch, and he ended up calling back to work, and he was just making no sense on the phone. This is back in the 80s. And he lived at home with his parents. We were both like 20, 21. And yeah, he was having such a severe migraine, he couldn't even form sentences properly.
Jesus.
Yeah. He had tried initially trying to drive to work, and he couldn't even find his way out of his housing addition.
Yeah, it's a good time to not go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, postdrome. The final phase is known as postdrome. Occurs after a migraine attack. You may feel drained or washed out, while some people feel elated. I love how the medicine just, like, covers all their bases in these descriptions.
All right, postdrome. You could basically feel anything. Postdrome.
Yeah, you could feel great or you could feel just ramped out, you know.
Anywhere in between.
Right. You may also experience confusion, moodiness. Oh, my God, I have migraines every day. Dizziness, weakness, sensitivity to light and sound, and the triggers... Can, although they're not really understood all that well, genetic and environmental factors appear to play a role. Migraines can be caused by changes in the brainstem and its interactions with the trigeminal nerve. Imbalances in brain chemicals, including serotonin, which may help regulate your nervous system, could be involved. And research is still ongoing about the role of serotonin in migraines. Serotonin levels drop during migraine attacks. This may cause your trigeminal nerve to release a substance called neuropeptides, which travel to your brain's outer covering, the meninges. The result is a migraine pain. Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm.
You really don't think I'd be that surprised by this, since I'm the one that did the research on this. But other neurotransmitters play a role in the pain of the migraine, including calcitonin gene-related peptide. Yeah. So, triggers. Hormonal changes in women. Fluctuations in estrogen seem to trigger headaches in many women. Women with a history of, I wonder if it's also that wandering uterus.
That's probably, I was thinking that earlier.
Yeah. Women with a history of migraines often report headaches immediately before or during their period, but not during their question mark or their exclamation point.
What about ampersands?
No real good research on ampersands or semicolons.
Okay, whatever you say.
What, have you found ampersand and semicolon research? I don't know
about. I think you are a shill for the ampersand market.
Yeah, I'm on the payroll of Big Ampersand.
Yeah, that's right. That's another Mickey Mouse company. Have we told that story on this show yet?
I think we have.
Okay, good. I think, yeah, this episode is running long. I think we should probably diminish the stories a little bit.
Others have an increased tendency to develop migraines during pregnancy or menopause. Hormonal medications such as oral contraceptives and hormone replacement therapy may also worsen migraines. Some women, however, find their migraines occur less often when taking these medications. So, again, consistency is a key, I guess. It could make it worse. It could make it better. Huh, give it a try. What the hell, right? Aged cheeses, salty foods, and processed food may trigger migraines.
Why does the best food cause problems?
Right. Absolutely. Because there's nothing I like more than a processed, aged, salty cheese.
Hey, I do.
But yet, skipping meals can or fasting can also trigger attacks. So, too much food or too little food.
Basically, you're fucked.
And where do people trust medical professionals if this is the best we can do with our information? You know?
Right.
The sweetener aspartame and MSG, which we mentioned earlier, monosodium glutamate, found in many foods, can trigger migraines. Alcohol, especially wine, we covered red wine earlier, and highly caffeinated beverages may trigger migraines. Stress can do it. Sensory stimuli, bright lights, and sun glare can induce migraines, as well as loud sounds, strong smells, including perfume,
loud noises, paint thinner,
secondhand smoke can trigger migraines in some people. Changes in the wake-sleep pattern, missing sleep or getting too much sleep may trigger migraines in some people, as can jet lag. Physical factors. So basically, stay at home, eat bland food, and keep the house dark at all times. You should be good.
Yeah, I'll deal with migraines.
Physical factors as intense physical exertion, including sexual activity. God, sex is really getting a bad rap in this episode.
Yeah. Don't have sex.
I'll take the migraine. Thank you. Changes in the environment, change of weather or barometric pressure. And then we talked about oral contraceptives, vasodilators. Such as nitrogen. So risk factors, family history, your age. Migraines can begin at any age, but they often occur during adolescence for the first time. Migraines tend to peak during your 30s and become less severe or less frequent in the following decades. Sex. Women are three times more likely to have migraines. Okay. So we're talking about sex, not sex. Got it. Headaches tend to affect boys more than girls during childhood, but by the time of puberty and beyond, the more girls are affected. Hormonal changes. So we just went over that, I think, fairly well.
Fairly well.
And then,
sorry.
Fairly well.
I don't know why I said that.
fairly well. Complications. Sometimes your efforts to control your migraine can cause other problems, such as abdominal pain. Certain pain relievers, such as NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, may cause abdominal pain, bleeding, ulcers, or other complications, especially if taken in large doses over a long period of time. Medication overuse headaches. Taken over-the-counter prescription medications for more than 10 days a month for 3 months or in high doses may trigger serious medication overuse headaches. Serotonin syndrome. Serotonin syndrome is a very rare, potentially life-threatening condition that occurs when your body has too much of the nervous system called serotonin. While the risk is considered extremely low, taking migraine medications called triptans or antidepressants known as SSRIs, which are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Oof, there's always a full one. I like SSRI much better on that.
SRI.
Or serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors may increase the risk of serotonin syndrome. These medications naturally raise serotonin levels, and it's possible that combining them could cause levels to be too high. They may be used together, but it's important to watch out for possible symptoms of serotonin syndrome, such as a change in cognition, behavioral, or muscle control. So this is not uncommon for them to be used together, so definitely make sure you stay in touch with your doctor while using it.
Oof. If I stay in touch with him, like go to his barbecues, have picnics with him. You don't have to tell him about your medical history.
Yeah. Online. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Facebook him.
So, also, some people experience complications from migraines, such as a chronic migraine, status migranosis.
Ooh. Yikes. Sounds terrible.
People with this complication have severe migraines that last for longer than 3 days. Persistent aura without infarction. Usually an aura goes away after the migraine attack, but sometimes auras last for more than 1 week afterward. A persistent aura may have similar symptoms to bleeding in the brain, such as a stroke, but without the signs of bleeding in the brain tissue. So you get similar stroke-like symptoms without actually having the stroke. And the migrainous infarction.
All the symptoms without even having the stroke. That's
right.
That's kind of BS. Yeah.
It's like near beer.
Yeah. Like, wait, like what?
Near
What's
beer.
Near beer?
That's non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, okay, like O'Doul's.
Right.
Is near beer actually like a brand?
No.
Okay.
It's a description of it. It's not beer. It's near beer.
Gotcha.
Beer adjacent. How about
they
that?
Hang out at the same places, but...
Right.
Let's face it. This is beer's less funny brother.
Exactly. So, prevention, Chris. What can you do to prevent these?
Well, you can do several things. First, you can scroll to the right part in the show prep so you actually know what you're reading.
Until recently,
I'm on it. I'm on it. I got this. I'm a little tired. So, until recently, experts recommended avoiding common migraine triggers. So, some triggers can't be avoided, and avoidance isn't always effective. But some of these lifestyle changes and coping strategies may help you reduce the number and or severity of your migraines. So, transcutaneous supraorbital nerve stimulation. Also known as TSNS. This device, Cephaly, I believe is the brand name, similar to a headband with attached electrodes, was recently approved by the FDA as a preventative therapy for migraines. In research, those that use the device experienced fewer migraines. Learn to cope, so the deal with it method.
just nut up for it.
Just shut the fuck up.
Wow, this is the harsher side, the darker side of medicine.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, big Nancy. By the way, I'm not implying that people that deal with migraines are Nancys at all.
No, not at all.
In this practice, you are gradually exposed to headache triggers to help desensitize you to them. This is called...
What do you do? I give headaches to people all day long.
I do like how they abbreviate this method as LTC. It's like, yes, I'm undergoing LTC therapy. What does that stand for? Right. Learn to cope.
It used to be called the
DWI.
NU process. It was the nut up process.
DWI, deal with it.
Yeah. It's gone through some name changes for PR reasons.
Well, there was SCYP, stop crying, you pansy. And then there was. I'm going to reiterate. Migraines are extremely debilitating. You're not a pansy.
We're not making fun of people with migraines. We're making fun of the terms that they come up with for the procedure.
However, there is more research is needed to better understand the effectiveness of the learn to cope methods. So, create a consistent daily schedule. Establish a daily routine with regular sleep patterns and regular meals. In addition, try to control your stress. Exercise regularly. Regular aerobic exercise reduces tension and it can help prevent migraines. If your doctor agrees, choose any aerobic exercise you enjoy, including walking, swimming, and cycling. Masturbation. Warm up slowly, however, because that's in there. It's right there.
No, it's not.
Oh, odd. Warm up slowly, however, because sudden intense exercise can cause headaches.
Regular exercise can also help you lose weight, maintain healthy body weight, and obesity is thought to also be a major factor, be a factor in migraines. Reduce the effects of estrogen. If you are a woman who has migraines and estrogen seems to trigger or make your headaches worse, you may want to avoid or reduce the medications you take that contain estrogen.
Those are headaches. Some of the types of headaches we can have. And do you have anything else, Chris?
I got nothing.
Thank you again to the person who suggested this. It was an excellent topic. There are actually some other things we were going to talk about, but we were running long, so this may actually tend to those will probably pop up in a different episode, or we may do a second episode on headaches. So just depending on what we can find. If you'd like to contact us, we are on Twitter at MedSideStuff, MedSideStuff. We're on Instagram at MedicalStuff52, and we're on Facebook at MedicalStuff.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at MedSideStuff@yahoo.com.
Yeah, we love to hear from you. We love your show ideas. We love the comments. We love the critiques. Well, we don't love the critiques, but we'll take the critiques, you know.
Yeah, we'll stroke out a little bit. But we'll take it.
So thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Toast.